Tuesday, February 18th. Feast of St. Simeon, Bishop and Martyr. First reading from the letter of St. James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been proved, he shall receive the crown of life which God hath promised to them that love him. Let no man, when he is tempted, say that he is tempted by God, for God is not a tempter of evils, and he tempteth no man. But every man is tempted, being drawn away by his own concupiscence, and allured. Then when concupiscence hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, but sin when it is completed, begetteth death. Do not err, therefore, my dearest brethren. Every best gift, and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of vicissitude. For of his own will hath he begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be some beginning of his creatures. Haydock Commentary. God is not a tempter of evils, and he tempteth no man. Here to tempt is to draw and entice another to the evil of sin, which God cannot do. The Greek may also signify he neither can be tempted nor tempt anyone. But everyone is thus tempted by the evil desires of his corrupt nature, which is called concupiscence, and which is not properly called a sin of itself, but only when we yield to it. When man's free will yields to concupiscence, our perverse inclinations become sinful, and when any grievous sin is completed or even consented to, it begets death, that is, it makes the soul guilty of eternal death. It may not be amiss here to observe with St. Gregory that there are three degrees in temptations. The first by suggestion only, the second by delectation, the third by consent. In the first, the devil, or our own frail nature, tempts us by a suggestion of evil thoughts in our imagination. To have such thoughts and imaginations may be no sin at all, though the things and objects represented be never so foul and hideous, though they may continue never so long and return never so often. The reason is because we cannot hinder them. On the contrary, if our will remains displeased with them and resists them, such a resistance is meritorious, and by the mercies of God will purchase us a reward. Second, these representations may be followed with a delight or delectation in the senses or in the body only. And if by an impression made against the will which we no ways consent to, there is again no sin. There may be also some neglect in the person tempted by not using sufficient endeavors to resist and repel those thoughts, which if it be only some small neglect, the sin is not great. But if the person tempted hath willfully and with full deliberation taken delight in evil thoughts, either of revenge or of fornication or adultery, or about anything very sinful, such a willful delight is a grievous and deadly sin, though he hath not had a will or design to perform the action itself. The reason is because he then willfully consents in mind and heart to a sinful delight. And the sin may be great and mortal, though it be but for a short time, for a temptation may continue for a long time and be no sin, and there may be a great sin in a short time. The reason again is because we are to judge of sin by the dispositions and consent of the will, not by the length of time. Third, when the sinner yields to evil suggestions and temptations, so that his will fully consents to what is proposed, and nothing can be said to be wanting but an opportunity of putting his sinful desires in execution. So he has already committed the sin, for example of murder, of fornication, etc. in his heart, as our blessed Savior taught us in Matthew 5:28. Do not deceive yourselves by yielding to temptation, but rather beg God his support and grace, for every good gift is from him. When it is said, "For of his own will he hath begotten us by the word of truth," some with St. Athanasius understand the eternal word made man. Others commonly understand the word of the gospel by which we have been called to the true faith. When it is said, "That we might be some beginning of his creatures," that is, such a beginning as are the first fruits, and perhaps St. James may so call the Jews as being the first converted to believe in Christ. The Gospel from Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 33. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, having a mind to build a tower, doth not first sit down and reckon the charges that are necessary, whether he have wherewithal to finish it, lest after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king about to go to make war against another king doth not first sit down and think whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that hath with 20,000 cometh against him? Or else whilst the other is yet far off, sending an embassy, he desireth conditions of peace. So likewise every one of you that doth not renounce all that he possesseth cannot be my disciple. Heda Commentary. When it is said that we must hate our family, etc., the law of Christ does not allow us to hate even our enemies, much less our parents, but the meaning of the text is that we must be in that disposition of soul as to be willing to renounce and part with everything, how near and dear soever it may be to us, that would keep us from following Christ. The word hate is not to be taken in its proper sense, but to be expounded by the words of Christ in Matthew 10:37, that no man must love his father more than God, etc. Christ wishes to show us what dispositions are necessary in him who desires to become his disciple, and to teach us that we must not be discouraged if we meet with many hardships and labors in our journey to our heavenly country. The analogy which our divine Savior makes represents the offices and duty of a true Christian, for he has to build within himself and conduct others by his example to war with the devil, the world, and the flesh. He wishes to show us that we are not to embrace any state of life, particularly that of an ecclesiastic, without previous and serious consideration whether we shall be able to go through with the difficulties and dangers which will inevitably befall us, lest afterwards we find ourselves constrained to yield to our enemies who will deride us and say, "This man began to build and was not able to finish."